What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 22, Student Trainer Mischief for May 2nd, 2012. All right, so our special guest today is Kevin Brown. He is an ex-athletic trainer, and he's a longtime friend of mine. We've been friends for since high school, for sure. That's where we were both athletic trainers. And so kind of wanted to get a perspective of maybe why he kind of got out of the field, and then also really we just wanted to have fun and tell stories.
Sounds cool. Okay.
So Doc has, you know, 30 years of experience as with high school athletics, so I'm sure he's got some stories he can throw in there too. But then Kevin and I we're kind of knuckleheads, and we're going to just tell stories on ourselves. Some of them might not be true. I don't know. We'll make them up as we go. But we're really just going to have fun with this. So if there's a lot of laughter or an unaudible material, then I somewhat apologize, but at the same time, I don't.
So it'll be clean.
You good with that, Kevin? All right, so real quick, a couple of little announcements before we get to all the nonsense. I had mentioned before the Rice University kinesiotaping workshop. They didn't have any details at the time, but that's going to be canceled because of a couple of problems she was having with it. And so Don wanted me just to kind of make sure I mentioned that the workshop wasn't going to happen this year. It's still something they would like to do, but it's just not going to happen now. Other than that, real quick, we had our Financial Peace University, the Dave Ramsey course about how to get out of debt. We had a graduation. We had eight people graduate the class, and there's a total of $35,000 in change of position. So that's between paying off debt and saving for whatever expenses. So over 13 weeks, which is 91 days, eight people changed in position about $35,000. And, you know, that's a course that I regularly teach about beating debt and build so you can build wealth and give it all away. And Twitter, I've got two people that are willing to come onto the broadcast in August because we're pretty much wrapping up the year. Just because I've engaged them in conversations on Twitter. So Twitter's actually really cool because people that I don't know, somebody in Ohio that I've never met, I get to talk to and find out kind of about what they do there that I would have never met without just being able to follow people on Twitter. Now, without much further ado, Kevin, you still there?
I'm here, man.
Bill, you ready?
I'm ready to go.
Let's
fire away.
All right, so these are, a lot of these, like I said, will be real life stories. Some of them may be a little bit exaggerated, but it's really just a lot of fun. And then we're going to talk about some different life stories. So, Kevin, let's go ahead and set the stage. Give me some background from where you're from. Where'd you go to school and kind of that kind of thing. Give me a little bit, just a little bit of background.
All right. Well, I'm originally from the Pasadena area, so I went to Dobie High School, and then after Dobie, I graduated and went to Dallas Baptist University, and then I did athletic training in high school and in college, and then after college, I got my license in athletic training, and then I did contract work in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So, what else you want to know?
Well, that's about it. I mean,
that's,
I guess
cool.
Sets the stage. How long did you do the? How many years did you do the contract work there?
I think I did it. It was only for 2 or 3 years. I did it while I was in graduate school, and then after graduate school, after I got married, and I was doing it at that time after graduate school, and then after my wife graduated as well, I moved on to a different profession.
Okay. Now, I know that there was another story in there. What were some of the other jobs you had when you were in college? I remember you told me you were a valet.
Oh, yeah. Valet parking.
Yeah.
Basically, I was one of the guys that stands outside the front door of a major event, like a wedding or something going on at the convention center or something. Stand outside the front door, and when people arrive in their vehicles, they give you the keys and you go park it. And so I did that for a while, and it was a lot of fun. I got to drive a lot of cool cars, I didn't get to drive like a Ferrari or Lamborghini, but you know, some of the other cool cars, some of the BMWs and Porsches and Mercedes, you know, I got to drive those. So it was pretty cool.
Wow, that brings back memories. When I was in college, back before y'all were born, I got to work the Shell Houston Open when it was in the Woodlands when I was at Sam, and because the golf coach took some athletes, and I just happened to be one of the student trainers that was in with some of those athletes, and they took, you know, we got to go down there, and we got to go to the Pro-Am, and during the Pro-Am, mm-hmm. they come with all these limos and these, the limo wouldn't let us drive it and park it, the limo driver did, but I mean, we got to see Rolls Royces. We got to, see all kinds of cars and everything. I got to drive. I got mm-hmm. to park a Rolls, so I thought that was the most prestigious car I got to park. So, but it just brought back memories of that. You know, where we get at the golf tournament, we'd get in golf carts and go riding around, and you know, during the Pro Am and everything, got to see some really, you know, sort of famous people. But mm-hmm. it was pretty cool. I mean, when you're only like, you know, 20 years old, I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty cool.
It was a fun job at that time.
Yeah, didn't you work that big golf tournament that's in Dallas, like the real well-known tournament, Kevin?
Byron Nelson? Was it the Byron Nelson? That's in Fort Worth.
Something.
The Colonial, right?
In Fort Worth. The Colonial. Mm-hmm, that's it. I've worked it two or three times, and I couldn't even remember the name of it. Yeah, I worked it. It's like a week long, and it's a long week, but it's a lot of fun. And just like Doc said, sometimes you run into some famous or kind of semi-famous people, and so
yeah, you find out which ones give the good tips and which ones don't give the good tips.
A lot of fun. What was that?
I said, you find out which ones give good tips and which ones don't give good tips, you know, and when you're
That's
parking
right.
their vehicle, they dish out, you know, 20s and 50s, you know, for their tips, and, you know, maybe 100, but, you know, I think we got a $100 tip from the limo, from the person that was in charge of the limo, not the limo driver, but the one riding. All we did was sit in the mm-hmm. passenger seat and the limo driver drove it to where we had to park it.
Wow.
So we had to take all the tips and put it together, and we all split it. We didn't get to keep each tip, so we had to use a community bucket, and hopefully you were honest and didn't, you know, shove that one in your pocket, you know.
All right. So real quick, the chat feature isn't working on the Ustream, and it's probably because the school internet has it blocked. And so... since Sarah's the only person listening, she's going to text me if she has any questions or comments. And the only person I know. And so she's going to text me if there's any questions or comments, anything she wants to have. She's already texted me and told me Kevin was too loud, and so I adjusted the volume there. Since this is our first time to have somebody listening live, so it's great, and I want to thank my beautiful wife for...
Just tell Kevin to back away from the computer, you know?
No, it's okay. I can adjust him on this end. You just do your thing, Kevin. All right. So without much further ado, we're going to get to the nonsense. All right, Kev. We'll start with you, and then we'll go to Bill. What's your favorite memory as an athletic trainer?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, man. You know, I think I've listened to some of your other podcasts, and I've heard you ask the same. I think I've heard you ask this question, and I was hoping you wouldn't ask me. That's hard to answer. That's the 8 years. That's over 8 years of athletic training, and I have to go in and select one.
All right. Well, it doesn't have to be just one. I mean, maybe it can be, you know, two or three, something like that.
Well, I'll tell you this, man, and this is the truth. One of the best things about athletic training was getting to make friendships with some of the other athletic trainers. Like you and I, that's how we met, was doing athletic training. And, you know, we got to hang out and spend time together, and, you know, we graduate high school, graduate college, and have a great friendship, you know, in each other's weddings and stuff. And I don't think we would have ever crossed paths if it wasn't for athletic training.
Yeah, a real quick note on that. You went to the same middle school as me, right? Beverly Hills.
Correct. And I think we even played – didn't you play football?
No, I wasn't in sports in middle school, so.
Oh. Yeah, we went to the same middle school, and I don't remember you from middle school.
Yeah, and I don't. We were actually student trainers together our freshman year, and we never talked because you know, when we went to Dobie, we had 20 or something plus student trainers, and we just never really talked.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then we had a mutual friend, another trainer, kind of say, "Hey, you guys come spend that at my house." We did, and then from that moment on, we were like, seriously like the Three Stooges, like just literally overnight, we were best friends, and.
Yep.
The next 3 years of athletic training were spent together, and then college, all this other stuff. So, I think
one of the cool things after we graduated, our schools, our universities still played each other in sports, and so we'd still get our teams would still compete, you know, in volleyball and baseball, and so even during college, we'd still like run into each other at some of the like tournaments, or if our teams were playing each other, you'd come up to Dallas, try to go down to Houston, and still get to see each other and hang out. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, and there was, you know, a couple of times where you came and picked me up from the hotel because we were playing in Dallas, and so, you know, I got to hang out with you rather than sit in the hotel with those stinky guys. Or or I was playing in a college in the area. I think we were playing at Paul Quinn, and you came over and watched the game and hung out and had dinner with us and stuff like that. And so it's just really cool to... You know, and that was actually before the days of cell phones and all that stuff. Really, I didn't have a cell phone until I graduated college, my first job as a professional. And so it was really good for us to be able to stay in touch and, you know, communicate long distance, that kind of thing. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
All right, so Bill.
So you asked me.
Go ahead, Kev.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the best thing. I mean, that I got out of athletic training was you know, the friendships, and especially yours, Jeremy, you know, but with some of the other guys as well, or other athletic trainers as well, just being able to develop these are lifelong friendships, you know, they weren't just temporary for that time. You know, some of these people I'm still friends with today.
All right, so I think I would I'm gonna beg off on this one and just copy Kevin's answer, because that's probably the single most profound thing that, because of athletic training, that has affected my life. I mean, literally, I would spend in high school or college, probably in college, I spent more nights at Kevin's house than I did at my parents' house, just because we were always up late doing stuff or goofing off or, you know, who knows what. And so, like I said, there's going to be a lot of stories and giggling and laughter. So, but all right, Doc, since ours is our mutual friendship there, what do you think?
30 plus years. I mean, it's like, you know, when Kevin started talking, I started thinking about, you know, y'all talked about friends in high school and stuff. I started thinking, well, what got me into athletic training was, you know, I was a little undersized and playing in junior high and had a few concussions and had a coach tell me, you know, talked me into being a manager. And then I found out about athletic training. And then I went to two Kramer workshops back in the 70s, back in the, you know, before, you know, any technology. So, but I got to meet at one student trainer workshop. I had to go all the way out to West Texas. My parents drove me out there from Dallas all the way to West Texas State University in, what is that, Plainview, Texas?
Canyon. That's in Canyon, Texas.
Yeah. Canyon? It's out there somewhere between Amarillo and Lubbock, you know, out there straight between it. It's way out there in the middle of nowhere. You know, and you're like 15 years old and your parents drop you off and leave you for 3 days and then you have to get on a bus and ride, come back home. I mean, nobody would even think about doing that with their kids nowadays. But, I mean, just to, you know, come across some kids at those workshops, and then later, you know, three of them happened to go to the same college as I did later. So, I mean, that was pretty cool. And, you know, but, you know, there's all kinds of memories I can go to. We've already had one podcast on just about me. So, you know, I mean, there's all kinds. I could even say, you know, if it wasn't for athletic training here in Pasadena High School, I wouldn't have found my wife I'm married to now. So, because she was working here about 11 years ago. So,
there you go.
And so, if I hadn't taken the job here in Pasadena, I'd probably still be up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Would never have met Jeremy. I mean, I would never have met any of the kids that I've, you know, been involved with here. So, yeah, there's a lot of things. Life gives you all these twists and turns, and it just whichever avenue you take, and that's, you know, the life you're dealt. You know, you just thank God for your blessings. So that's about it.
That's right.
All right. So, you got any other? How about like other than the friendships, Kevin? You got any other favorite memories of athletic training? Maybe there was a game, or maybe there was a student that came in and said, you know, hey, here's a gift because, you know, you were so important to me returning to play or something like that.
Well, the last one you just mentioned wasn't from students. It would be, I guess, more so from parents. When I was in college, I mainly worked with the women's volleyball team, and I got to know the parents pretty well. And, you know, some very loving and generous people, and they would see the work that I would put into helping their children, you know, maintain their ability, you know, and so they would oftentimes they would like bake cookies and stuff and bring them and give them, you know, sometimes specifically for me, or other times just give it to everybody. But if a parent brought something for all that the athletes, they would also bring it for me as well. And so as a way to say thank you for the work and the effort and the energy and the time invested into their children. And so, that was definitely, I guess what it comes back for me is it really is relationships, you know. Now I am talking about it and thinking through it and hearing what I'm saying. It is relationships, the relationships that were built through doing athletic training were probably the most important, the best memories that I have and the most important things that I took away from athletic training.
Yeah, that's with me too. You know, everybody asked me all these years, you know, do you remember this game from back? I mean, I come across a coach that was a former athlete or whatever, and they asked me, hey, Doc, do you remember this game from back in, you know, 90 or 80, whatever? And I'm like going, no. you know, after you've seen as many athletic games as I have, you know, they just kind of boom, boom, boom on top of each other. It's just like, you know, only thing I can remember certain ones, but it's like, man, it's too many games. You know, I can barely remember what happened this past football season or this past year, much less remember what happened 19. You know, I remember a couple of ones, like some playoff games. I remember some key things from those games. And, you know, I remember one baseball game that we had that we, you know, played Sharpstown, you know, and I mentioned some kids about, you know, when was the last time, you know, Pasadena went to the playoffs in baseball? I said, well, twice since I've been here. So, I mean, you know, once in the 90s and then once in my, you know, first couple of years when I was working here, when I was a young kid that didn't know anything, and I went to everything. I went to everything I could possibly go to. You know, who does that now? Not me. I got a family, you know, so, I mean, but it's just, I don't even know where I was going with that. So
I don't either. All right. So
that's why we called it mischief.
Yeah. All right. So now that we've kind of got through the sentimental memories, let's get to. I've made a whole list of stuff, and I'm sure this isn't even half of the stuff we did. I'm serious. We were always into something. I mean, we were high school boys, and I even emailed Chad Jones over at Pearland High School. He was the head athletic trainer our senior year at Dobie, and asked him, I was like, hey, is there anything that you can remember? But he never emailed me back. I guess he's too busy or something. Who knows? So I was trying
maybe
to see.
Maybe he's trying to just forget about that time.
He's trying to forget. That's right. He's just trying to forget.
So I've been to therapy for 6 years. No. So, all right. So first thing on my list that I have is just some of the stuff that we would make using tape or tape rolls or items that are in the training room. why we came up with this, I don't know, but we took about 6 or 8 empty tape rolls and taped them together, and then made it like a string. And so we made some nunchucks, out of tape rolls. And so, you know, of course, we make our...
That means y'all had too much time on your hands.
Yeah. So we would make our our first copy, our first set of them, and then they would break. And so then we're like, okay, well, let's put some tongue depressors in there so that they'll be sturdy. And then we do it all again. And we, I mean, who knows how much tape we wasted and all that stuff, but we were creative, so. So I got some, you know.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear the one. I can't wait to hear the next one. I just don't know how you figured that one out, so.
So, we could go in our little lockers there and open them up, and there was always something that we were working on, tape balls or nunchucks, or which is the next one, which was Doc was talking about, is Frisbees. Okay, Kevin, you got anything to say about the nunchucks?
No, man, I mean, that's pretty much it. I remember we'd walk into the training room, and there underneath the taping table would be that box of the old tape rolls that might still have a little bit of tape left on it, and just start rummaging through that box, and then I don't know, man. I don't even know how we came up with nunchucks. You know, maybe one of us watched Ninja Turtles or something, and you know, next thing we know, we're just messing with the tape, and now we got nunchucks.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
All right, so then we would take.
That's so funny. I just had to throw this in. That's the difference from having boys in the training room than having like what we have, nothing but girls. So, I mean, girls don't come up with these types of things. So.
Yeah, they sit in there and straighten their hair and
yeah.
Do who knows what. Then we also came up with like a Frisbee. So I'm sure you've seen people
hear this one.
Do it before. It's kind of like a heel step where you take the rolls and you kind of you make them in a circular pattern like a disc or Frisbee shape, and you could tape those together. So I'm sure we had a couple different versions of those, but we had some basically just something to throw across the training room or down the hall or roll it down the hall. So again, taking empty tape rolls and tape and all this other stuff and creating just any sort of random
stuff. But how did you get a Frisbee? What did y'all do to make a Frisbee? A Frisbee's
flat. Well, it
didn't
fly like a Frisbee. But
I mean, we used to take the rolls and throw them and they do spinning.
Oh, yeah. We got plenty of stories about that, but.
But I'm still trying to hear about
man.
How you made
we
a Frisbee out of
like,
tape.
We could hit a bullseye from across the room doing that.
No, seriously, we would practice. We would be standing across the room. All right, you got to hit this spot, or you got to hit so and so on the arm or something like that. All right, so we jumped around, and that's one of the topics we're gonna hit up later. But all right, so what you do is you take an empty roll of tape, empty roll of white tape, and you put it between your second finger and your thumb. And you have to flick and throw it at the same time, so it creates a spinning action in the roll of tape or the tape roll while it's flying forward. And so then it makes like a screwball or something would if you're throwing a baseball. And so it's not like just a straight line, but it makes a big.
I still want to hear how you made Frisbees.
Well, we were working on that, and then you jumped in with the. Flick throwing.
Well, I didn't even read that. I just said the only thing I've ever done with throwing with tape is throwing the rolls.
All right, Kevin. So what else do you have on Frisbees?
All right. So I remember we would just use tape and tape itself. So we'd lay the tape out, maybe a couple inches worth, and then we would take another piece of tape about the same length and lay it right on top of it, sticky side to sticky side. And then we would just do that two pieces, at a time, and each time we would put the two pieces of tape together, it's kind of hard to explain. Like, one would be on top and the other would be on bottom, but we would rotate it just a little bit. So in the very middle of the tape, it was connected with the tape previously, but at the ends, it was fanned out just a little bit. And so we would kind of rotate it every time so that it would make a circle, kind of like a plate. And
kinda
once
like
you have, once you have
fanning
a plate,
mm-hmm.
What's that?
Kind of like fanning it like you do a butterfly type fan.
Yeah, right. Just kind of fan it out. And then once you do that, you kind of have a template. And then once you have your basic template or that circle of tape, you could do anything. I mean, you could add more tape to it and make it more sturdy or make it bigger, or you could tape those applicators, the cotton applicators or tongue depressors on it, or whatever. And so that's what I remember we would do. And just use the tape and make it a little bit more sturdy, a little bit thicker, and kind of make it a little bit wider in diameter as well. And it wasn't shaped like a Frisbee shape now, where the Frisbee is kind of like a dome, where on the edges it curves, it kind of folds down, kind of like an upside down plate. That was a little bit too technical, but you know, it's like a just like a large plate made out of tape, you know, and you can still throw it. If you could, you can still get some good velocity on it. You know, that sucker could fly down the hall.
All right, so real quick, I told you my wife's listening in the chat room, and so she's texting me, and she said it's not an Aerobie. So that's a whole a whole different set of stories. I'm telling you, Kevin and I literally like grew up together, almost living together, and so we just had tons of stories. And so the Aerobie is the flying ring. So if you take a frisbee and cut the center out, it's more or less what you're getting. And then, I mean, this thing can fly super far, and we've, you know, we've touted the praises of the Aerobie forever, and I think I still always carry one in the truck, and, you know, basically wherever we were going, we always had an Aerobie or two or something like that. And so thank you for
that. I got an Aerobie. It's about 3 feet away from me right now, right by my desk.
That is awesome. That is classic. So thank you for the added comedy, my beautiful wife. All right, so the Aerobie, if you're looking for an excellent, amazing frisbee, it flies far. It's a lot of fun. And they don't float if you throw them in the water, because we lost somebody at the beach. All right.
Yeah.
So any more on the frisbees, Doc, Kevin?
Nah.
You good?
Nah, that's about it, man.
Okay, so the flick roll throwing, we already kind of mentioned that, but again, take an empty tape roll. Typically, like the inch and a half white tape works really good because it's about the right size. With your middle finger, that's how I do it, is my middle finger and my thumb, and you set it kind of up in between the two of them, and you flick and throw at the same time, and it takes a little bit of practice to get into it. Yeah, and so then the more you do it, the more you figure out, okay, if I throw it at this angle or at this speed, you know, it's going to do like this. And if you haven't ever tried it, the flick throwing is awesome.
It's addictive.
Brings back old memories.
And what did you say? You could throw one about the length of a normal gym, Kev?
Oh, yeah, easily.
And so it takes practice, because if you just throw it real hard, it's probably going to bite real hard and go to the ground.
Yeah.
And so it's a delicate balance.
Yeah, you got to learn to, you don't just throw it straight. You got to learn to throw up a little bit. And so, you know, when you release the tape roll, your arm is up and away from your head, from your body. And so, and you kind of aim the tape roll up as well, so that it just kind of takes off. And then, you know, and the more practice, the more times you throw it, you kind of learn at what point it's going to break and start to rotate or twist or, you know, change directions. And so, you know, the more practice, like Jeremy, like you said, the harder you throw it, you kind of learn, like, if it's going to start spinning in circles or if it's just going to break left or break right. And yeah, man. And the other thing, too, if there's a little bit of tape on it, I remember what we would do was sometimes it would just be a completely empty tape roll. And other times there would be just a little bit of tape left, and we would practice like splitting the tape. And so it's just leave like, you know, a quarter of an inch of tape on the very front of the tape roll, and then just throw that and see how that would fare as well, you know, compared to tape just on the back side. And sometimes we'd split the tape into three sections where there's three rows of tape on the tape roll itself to see how far that would go as well. But I got to say, my favorite was always just a plain tape roll without any tape on it. You know, it's kind of light, and you know, you could just have just really excellent control, you know, and accuracy over it. You know, you could hit a bullseye from across the room.
Hey, y'all remember when the elastic, 2-inch elastic tape came on a plastic roll? Do y'all remember that? Was it around when y'all were kids?
Maybe.
I'm going to say no to that.
So y'all never seen the plastic roll?
I think I've seen the plastic roll on something else, but I don't think it was on the 2-inch elastic.
Well, they made it at one time. I don't remember what brand it was, but they used
Is
to
that
have
what y'all
that.
Used?
Oh, yeah. They hurt.
I can only imagine.
And they would go a little bit better than the paper ones.
So I would remember we would get like a handful of these things and just go out in the hallway. And, I mean, Sarah bought a Nerf gun for me, or for each of us, and we were just having battles at the house with a Nerf gun. But, I mean, we were doing this same thing in the hallway it may have been like right after school or who knows when. I mean, people walking by and we're out in the hallway just battling each other with these tape rolls. I mean, we would get four or five, six people out there, and you know, sometimes we tag up and I'll throw them at somebody, or you know, just hold somebody down and throw them at them or something, you know. So it was probably one of the funnest things we did because it was easy. You know, you always had an empty tape roll.
So did either Chad get mad?
I'm sure. I know he got mad at us lots of times, but he declined to comment. So.
Well, the other Chad was y'all's junior years, right?
No, Chad Barrett wasn't there when we were there.
Oh, who was before?
Chad Jones. And then we had four different ones when we were there. No, three different ones. We had Rob Kimmel, Mike Folds, and Chad Jones.
Was Mike, did Mike get, because he doesn't seem like he'd have the patience.
Mike Folds, did you know him?
Yeah.
Well, he I don't know, he didn't really talk to us. he was kind of on his own a little. I don't know. I don't remember really much about Folds at all. Kevin, you got any comments?
Oh, man, that was like 15 years ago.
So just to say he did not much of an influence in y'all.
I could say that if they got mad, it was justified. I'll say that. If they got mad, then it was probably justified.
Yeah, yeah, there's a reason we're still talking about and laughing about this stuff, like you said, 15 years later, because it was dumb stuff. But
yeah.
It was so much fun.
Yeah, Rob, Mike, and Chad, if you're listening, I apologize for the headaches I gave you 15 years ago.
I don't think Rob would have had as much problem because Kevin and I weren't friends our freshman year, and I think he left after our freshman year. So once Kevin and I joined forces, it was all downhill. I'm really having to like stop myself from laughing or turn my head so I'm not just laughing on the mic the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So anything else about tape rolls? At least not for now.
Not for now.
Okay, no, next
okay, hey, on the tape rolls, did y'all ever try to play baseball with them?
You mean like with a baseball bat?
Or a stick? Or, you know,
broomstick?
I
mean, I remember, you just like when we were, you know, just like when you're little and you play Little League baseball, you know, you go to the ballpark and you play cup ball. Somebody uses their hand as the bat, and somebody else picks up a cup or something and throws it, and you hit the ball with
your
hand.
Yeah, but you could use the
tape
rolls.
I remember we would do that with the tape rolls, yeah.
Okay. Just want to check.
Yeah, usually I think it was probably you try to swat it with your hand or something. I don't know if we ever did it with the bat. We might not have been that resourceful.
I was trying to think what was in the training room back then that you could have used, but.
Who knows?
I mean, the only thing we did mischievous in college was we would we would do some of the things you have written on there, but we didn't have golf carts in high school. We didn't have golf carts either. So, but one of the things we did was do y'all remember ankle wrap rolls? The cloth rolls. Well, in college we couldn't afford a lot of the tape, so we instead of taping every athlete, we were on a tight budget at Sam, we'd have those ankle wrap rolls that we'd sit there and roll them up. Well, we did our own laundry, so they throw them when they take them off. They tear the tape, take the tape off. They throw the rolls in the laundry, and we throw them in the washer and dry them. And they come out in this one big old wad of knots. So we'd have to untie them and everything, and it was kind of weird.
So Kevin, if it's kind of like a ace wrap.
Yeah, except it's cloth.
Yeah, it's cloth and it's
and all
not
you did
elastic.
Was the all you did was the heel lock. You just rolled it, did heel lock over the sock, and then put a couple of heel locks with white tape, and you're done. And you send them out.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So just so you know, kind of what he's talking about there, because we actually have a couple of rolls of that cloth stuff still here,
but and nobody uses it. We can use it to help the kids practice.
Yeah, that's
heel
it.
Heel locks. That's about it.
There you go.
So, okay. So the next thing I had. And this, I will warn you, if you have student trainers listening to this, if you just happen to be playing this as a class, I will warn you, just maybe skip this next one because it can be, it was bad. All right, so now that you have time to have turned it off.
Or edited it.
Whatever, but we used to take the cotton tip applicators and dip them in skin lube. And then throw
oh.
And then throw
throw them on the ceiling.
Throw them on the ceiling. I'm pretty sure we
dude,
got
dude, I have to say, who came up with that? Who came up with that?
You know, I think one of the, I think maybe Joe Martinez showed us. I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking Joe or Jen. I was thinking some. I think somebody showed that to us because I don't remember coming up with that on our own.
I don't either. We used to take and color the we'd color them black or you know put different words or whatever on the little applicators and throw them up. They would be all over the halls, all over the training room. I'm serious. I'm pretty sure I got cussed at more than, at least once because of those things. Oh, if this was a live video stream, it'd be a lot funnier because I'm somewhat crying right now. I'm laughing so hard remembering. Oh goodness.
Yeah, that would definitely. I remember that would get under whoever the athletic trainer was at the time. That would get under their skin very quickly, and they would get mad about it. And I remember it just kind of became a game. You know, I mean. You know, immature 16, 17-year-old high schoolers, as I was. I won't speak for your students, Jeremy. They're probably more mature than I was at that time. But here I am, you know, and thinking it's just hilarious. Like, we'd throw them to the ceiling, and they would either fall down or we would be told to take them down, so we'd take them down. And then, you know, when that person would leave the room, just throw them right back up on the ceiling.
They are just anywhere. You can stick them on the walls. And oh, that was one of the funniest ones. And like I said, it's probably one of the ones we got in trouble for the most. But
mm-hmm.
All right, so Bill stepped out. He had to take a phone call. Part of the hazards of the job. So,
mm-hmm.
Are you got anything more about applicators or skin lube?
No, man. The main thing I just remember we would color them and then throw them on the ceiling and then just see how long it would take till. Whoever the trainer was, would take for them to notice that they're there just hanging down from the ceiling.
Yep. Every once in a while, I'll look up and see if there's any hanging down from my ceiling, but I've never really shared that with my students, and that's why I'm glad we're doing this without the students today because of the time difference. That way they don't hear this unless they go back and listen to it. So. Okay. All right, so this one I've actually done recently with my students, taping people to tables. Or mm-hmm. or that kind of thing, you know, basically where you're taping people up. So we had a kid fall asleep and taped her down.
I don't remember any specific incidences of taping someone completely to the table.
So
right. Where are y'all at?
We were talking about taping people to tables.
Oh,
I saw,
okay.
Again, I was talking about Twitter earlier. I follow a lot of athletic trainers because it's, you know, more or less what I do. I saw somebody had taken flexi wrapped a kid to the table. So
that's
it was
kind
like
of expensive.
Two students had, you know, I don't know how much they use, but they flexi wrap a kid to the table. That's pretty tough to break out of.
Oh, that is real. That's before. But we did do the tape. We did the ankle wraps, too. So
just tying them to the table.
Tying them to the table and then leave them. And then the athletic trainer come in and say, why this freshman's taped to the table? Like, well, and then he'll give us up, and we just go, well, he refused to take the knots out, and that's the freshman's job, so we did it, so we told him that's what's going to happen to him, so. I mean, what's he going to do, fire us? Send us home?
Doc, I like your response. You said, when Jeremy said, you know, something about on Twitter, you know, hearing about somebody using flex wrap to tape someone to the table, your response wasn't, oh, was the kid okay, or what'd they do? Your response was, that's kind of expensive.
Yeah, but kids don't think about money. It's only the adults. Now, Jeremy's doing all the budgeting, so mm-hmm. I'm surprised he didn't say that.
I know. Well, I'm all for having fun. Obviously, you know, you could tell by the stories we're telling. You know, yesterday I got into a water fight with one of my students just because we can, you know. I mean, it's just... It's a lot
yeah,
of fun.
She comes up to me. She said, Jackson started it. I said, well, what's the point?
So
that's what you get for getting in the water fight with him.
All All right. Anything else about strapping people to tables or, I don't know, handcuffing them with tape or something?
Nah.
Kevin?
Mm-mm.
All right. So this one, I know that I personally did, and I have more than one story about golf carts, but there's one. I love driving around the golf cart when it's wet or muddy because you can fishtail. One time I got a little too carried away and went through like a real small ditch. And it had been raining, and I didn't know that the golf cart was going to get stuck. So I was out there by myself. So I got the golf cart stuck, so I had to push it out of the mud all by myself. So I'm trying to push this heavy golf cart. I'm in the mud and end up getting, I don't know, ankle deep in mud. And then I have to come back and try and either clean it off or explain myself. I can't remember which one. Maybe I did both. But so what other stories y'all got about golf carts?
Oh, I mean, yeah, definitely driving the golf cart on a day when it's either raining or has just rained was an adventure for me, especially, you know, just kind of like you. We're probably in the golf cart together, you know, most of that time as well. And so it's just anytime you could hit a puddle, you know, you could fishtail or hit the brakes just a little too hard, maybe, you know, and cut the wheel a little bit, and you can get the golf cart to slide around and stuff. And I remember one time it was I was covering the sophomore football practice, and I was driving the golf cart in, and this time I was not goofing around. I just wasn't really paying attention, and there were some ruts in the grass, in the ground. You know, it wasn't on the field; it was off to the side of the field, and I just drove right into it and got stuck. And the coach called some of the guys over, and they had to come push. They came and pushed it out of the mud, and it was definitely embarrassing for me because, you know, here I am trying to, you know, I wasn't goofing around. I was actually trying to be responsible, and I still managed to get the golf cart stuck.
Okay, did you get out and help them get out, or did you stay in the golf cart and get them all muddy?
No, I stayed in the golf cart and kept my foot on the gas.
Yeah, got them all muddy, didn't you?
Yeah, it was rooster telling. Just shooting mud right out.
That's funny.
All right, so here's one. I don't know how many, if I've told this to anybody, but when I did my internship with the Texans, they have the yellow Cushman carts, and so they're pretty, they're heavy. And in the Texans have a facility, they're like the stadium, and then across the street is a practice facility. So there's a bridge. So I drive it over the bridge, and then the bridge is obviously elevated, so you're coming downhill. So of course I'm driving this thing like, all right, pedal to the metal. So I'm coming downhill in this heavy cart, and then I try to make a turn, and I just lay that thing on its side. And again, luckily there's absolutely nobody else over there. So this thing's on its side. I scratched up my elbow. And then so I have to go and pick this thing up off its side. And I don't know that there may have been scratches, but if one of the Houston Texans yellow Cushman carts has scratches all up on the side, then it's probably because of me, because I going downhill and trying to make a sharp turn and laid that thing over.
So how did you get that thing turned back over?
I was working out a lot, I guess. I was strong.
Had adrenaline. I don't want to get caught. I don't want to get caught.
Adrenaline, that's what it was. Probably didn't want to get caught.
They'll make me pay for it.
So,
unfortunately,
yeah. One time in college, I was riding in the passenger seat of the mule that we had, and this other guy was driving, and I didn't know he was gonna try and like skid or whatever, and so he cut the wheel and hit the brakes, but the mule, it didn't skid at all. I mean, it just stopped like right on a dime, and it threw me out of the passenger seat, and just, you know, all of a sudden here I am flying, I'm airborne, and I'm looking parallel to the ground, and at the last second I realized that, you know, I'm actually flying through the air, and so I was able to, you know, not land and break my neck, but, you know, just out of nowhere, here we are, we're just riding down the road, and then all of a sudden I've just been launched, and I'm looking at the ground past underneath my body.
I'm sure everybody has stories. But here's one I remember. We had a golf cart. It had like the seat in the front and then the seat in the back. It didn't have the flat bed when we were in high school. And there was a girl. She's actually still friends with my sister. Her name is Julie. She was sitting in the back holding on the coolers, and somebody hit a bump or made a turn, and the coolers started to fall out. Instead of letting go and letting the coolers fall,
oh, no.
she held on to the coolers and fell with them. With them. I'm going to have to email my sister and tell her that we're talking about Julie falling out of the cart, but it was so funny. Instead of just letting go and letting the coolers fall, she kept tumbling out of the cart with the coolers, so...
Well, that's pretty good work ethic there, you know. She was charged with protecting and maintaining the integrity of the water in that cooler, and she fought to maintain it.
Wow.
All right.
Unfortunately, I don't have any golf cart stories, because when I start driving a golf cart or using a golf cart, I was actually employed here, so I didn't have any mischief or anything because it was ours, so I couldn't allow it to happen. So, but in college, we didn't have a golf cart. We had this big old wagon, and it was about the size of, it was probably about 8 foot long by 5 foot wide. Homemade thing that you pulled out to the practice field. And I mean, it took about four people to push it and pull it. So, I mean, that was the closest thing we had to a golf cart. So,
oh, I remember before we had the golf cart, we had a four-wheel cart or like, mm-hmm, a four-wheel dolly. And if we had to take water out to the football field, you know, it seemed like it was 100 yards away. You know, we put it on the cart, and here we are pushing it over grass. It wasn't even like a small walkway or pathway. It was just over the grass into the dirt, you know, just out in Texas, you know, the Texas heat during August, it's 100 degrees outside, and here we are lugging water all the way out to the football fields. I was definitely glad when we finally got the golf carts.
Yeah, I remember that. They call it a truck, flat truck dolly.
Oh, yeah.
And had little bitty wheels on it. Mm-hmm. Had this big old, mm-hmm, handle on it. And that's what we moved everything around. But I remember back in the pre-y'all born days, or around when y'all were born in the 80s. So I remember when we had they would just have water coming out of PVC pipe, and they just had to deal with it. So
just shooting straight out, yeah, nonstop.
No, I'd put a little shut off valve, and they'd go over there and turn it on. But I mean, I built the stands and everything. I had a dad come up with the copper tubing that he coiled up inside of a in a ice chest. So I had that invented before Waterboy even thought about it. But unfortunately, I didn't patent it, so I thought it was cool. So, but that's what happens when one of your dads is a pipe fitter, you know?
Yeah.
We probably still have that stupid trash, that ice chest. I don't know.
We might.
I think it's in the baseball storage room, but that's pretty cool. Let's sell the copper and get us some extra money. So, that's a little different. Sorry about that.
All right, so what were we talking about?
Golf cart.
Golf cart stuck in the mud.
Oh, yeah. I remember that cart you're talking about, Kevin. That was terrible, dude, because it's just a typical, you know, flat dolly that you would use for moving stuff around inside of a smooth building.
Try to do that, mm-hmm, on grass. Yeah,
and it probably was 100 yards from the school to the football fields. Man, it was brutal. I'm so glad we, mm-hmm, got that golf cart.
Oh, that's right, because when y'all went to Dobie, it's where Beverly Hills is now. So.
Right.
The old Dobie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the old
Dobie. Old Dobie. Yeah, even back, I can even talk about Pasadena before, and then people go, what? Where was practice fields at? I said, yeah, right there where that building is now. Back when I'd just walk out the door, and there's the practice field. I mean, we didn't really have to haul stuff very far, but it was interesting. Back in the days when it was one trainer days, so. But, and then there was some mischief about, I have one mischief thing that I did to an athlete, but it was pretty bad. He had a groin pull, and he didn't want to do ice, so I just took the whirlpool and filled it full of ice and water and made him get in it, and he didn't complain about putting ice on his groin.
Yeah, well, so you sit in 50-degree water for 8 or 10 minutes, then...
It wasn't 50, it was like 40.
All right.
And he didn't like that. I don't think he could walk a tree cut out. But that's an old one. But
all right, well, you got anything else, Kev?
No, not with getting the golf cart stuck. Nope.
All right, so we had a lot of fun and laughs and stuff like that. Now, having said all that, is there? I know that towards the end of your career as an athletic trainer, you were just kind of like tired of it. You told me that sometimes you felt like family members or friends kind of pushed you to get your license, even though you didn't want to, because you took the test like two or three times or whatever, and you just didn't feel like you wanted to retake it and follow that path. Is there a specific reason that you decided, you know, athletic training wasn't your lifelong career?
Well, to answer that question, is there a specific reason? I mean, it would just have to be that it was, that's not what I was, I felt like that's what I was supposed to do with my life. Not that there's anything wrong with athletic training. I think it's a lot of fun. I like working with my hands. I like helping people. I like, care and prevention of athletic injuries. I enjoy all of it. And I love being at the games and, you know, watching the games as well. I loved all of that. But I just knew in my heart it just wasn't what I was supposed to do for the rest of my life. And so that was probably the main reason. But I will say that, you know, to do athletic training, you were going to put in a lot of hours. And you have to be, you know, you have to be aware of that. During certain seasons of the year, you're going to be at work for a long time each week. And, it's a sacrifice. I think there's benefit in it, and you do receive your reward for your work, you know. But it's a sacrifice that you have to be willing to make. And for me personally, because I knew that wasn't what I wanted to do for the rest of my life as my career, it made that sacrifice just a little bit more difficult for me to, you know, fully give, you know, put, invest into.
That'll work for me.
Yep.
All right. Well, Bill, you got any more questions?
That's true. Cause if your heart's not in it, you know, it's not where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
You got any more questions for Kev?
Nah.
Kevin, you have any parting thoughts on, you know, sports, athletic training, life in general?
Sports, athletic training, and life in general. Well, I'll say this. I mean, for the students that are listening, you know, if you're considering doing athletic training, I would say at least give it a shot. You know, it's worth it. I got a scholarship to go to college, and it was a good experience. It paid for school, and I got a great education. And after college, I did it for a little while, and it helped pay for my graduate degree. And so it was worth it. I don't regret doing athletic training at all. I see it as it was a perfect stepping stone to get me from where I was in high school to where I am right now in my life.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very good point.
That's in line with what I tell the kids a lot. I mean, give it a shot. If you don't like it, that's fine. You know, at least you know now. Well, if you don't have anything else, Doc, you don't have anything else? Yeah. Any more funny stories?
Not that I can think of.
No. All right. Well, this truly has been...
I'll probably think of a lot more after, you know, we hang up the phone. And I'll think, oh, man, I should have said that, or I should have said this.
That's all right. This has been a lot of fun, and I'm really glad we got to do this. And of course, you know, getting to talk to my best friend, other than my wife, is always good. And you know,
oh yeah,
just kind of making an excuse to call Kevin. So maybe I'll make up another one next year.
Well, this has been fun.
So
yeah, it's been good. Thanks for inviting me on. I really appreciate it.
Yep. So, Kev, if you want to hang on the line for just a second, I'll finish out. Or if you need to go, I can hang up. Which one? No.
I'm good. I'll wait.
Okay. All right. So, of course, there's some people that support us, that help us out. JJ Worthen, my buddy, he's on Twitter at KingVoltMusic. and he's the one that provides the intro and outro music for us, and he's told me several times I could use whatever music of his for free, and so, you know, it's kind of hard to find music that you can use without having to pay for it each time you use it, and so that's one of the things he's done for me there. And then at Element OP on Twitter, or elementop.com, they answer a lot of questions for me. They help point me in the right directions with a lot of equipment, and they really improve what we do here on the podcast. So if you're interested in that, check it out, elementop.com. And now, if you want to contact us, words of wisdom.
I got something.
All right, Bill's got something.
I got something. Since this dealt with mischief and it was clean fun, you know, it's like if anybody's listening, and if you're a teenager, it's like, you know, enjoy your life when you're young, and because when you get old like me, the mischief stuff just kind of becomes, you start thinking things through too much. As long as you have fun and you're not aiming to hurt anyone or damage stuff, you know, and if you do, you know, oh well. So it just have fun. I mean, a little mischief is not bad as long as you're having fun with it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to get into some trouble.
As long as it's okay trouble. It's not criminal.
All right, and then before we take off, I want to make sure I thank my beautiful wife for listening into the podcast and commenting via text. And we're going to get it figured out to where I can get the chat room going. Maybe it's just using Twitter.
I want to say something to your wife that's listening. Good luck on y'all's doctor's visit today.
Oh, yeah. We go to our final ultrasound for the new baby that is due July 10th.
Yeah.
So that's today.
Hopefully they cover it so you don't see what you're having.
Yeah, we're not finding out the gender of the child, so it'll be one of the things you have to warn them before you go in, and just remind them, because we don't want anybody last minute, oh yeah, he's so healthy. What?
So no, it's a she.
Yeah,
it's
so
a she.
That's what we're, either way, we're good. All right. So with that being said, if you would like to check this out live, you could go to ustream.tv and then type in Sports Medicine Broadcast. It'll have our green logo there. You can listen to the podcast live and type in the chat room. Since we only have one person listening live, then that
I'll
one
let
person
you know of. So.
Yeah. No, it says right here number of viewers, one. So, but
well, maybe that one viewer will give out tweets to other people, so
yeah, who knows?
Just kidding, Sarah.
All right, so one day it's going to catch on, and so we're getting in the habit of doing it.
Let's hope.
All right, so ustream.tv, Sports Medicine Broadcast. One day we'll get the chat figured out, and then if you want to check out our website, the stream is also posted on there, so you could have listened to it through our website. It's www.pasadenaisd.org/phs/athletic-training.
You can follow us on Twitter at PHS Sports Med. Google Plus is PHS Athletic Training. Facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training. If you want to talk to Jeremy or myself, you can call us on the office phone, which is 713-740-0310, extension 01312. And if we don't answer, leave a message and we will return it.
So far, no phone calls that I know of.
Nobody's called, but
that's okay.
There will always be a first.
Yep. You could be the first one.
Yes.
And if I could figure out how to play the voicemail on the podcast, I would do that. But I would have to have a voicemail first. So if you want to try and be the first, call that number. Of course, finally, if you have an Android phone device, you could download the app, PHS Athletic Training. It's an easy way to listen to the podcast, check out some of the other links, stay connected.
And we still have plenty.
Yeah, I think I have 38 downloads, and I have 500 total for free. So
yeah, they're going fast.
Limited edition. It'll be on Antiques Roadshow one day.
That's right.
Selling for lots of money. All right. For Jeremy, Bill, and Kevin, that's a wrap.